14.
Yes.
You ready? So now we need to move again. Watch it, Judy.
Up a little.
While it's going, but, you know, have it in the background.
Good. It only happens once in a while, I don't know.
You want to have a drink already?
Hi, Grams.
Need a cushion.
Okay. This is the French trip for next year. We did this trip once about 12, 13 years ago. It's called Tale of Two Cities. And it's London and Paris. And the concentration of study for next year would be Guillaume the Conqueror, 1066, and then the Hundred Years' War. Because the kids will be tested almost every place they go. So that'll be the concentration. So, first?
Yeah.
Hang on. Viewers. Hang on. Give me a moment. I'm trying to get it to fit the screen.
Full view.
Just push up.
Just click on the menu bar and pull up and it'll go up.
Oh, this?
Yeah.
Just click and drag.
Yep.
Well, no, we're in the middle of it. Yeah. Like, click there, hold the mouse down. No, in the middle of the blue.
Yeah,
now drag it up.
There you go.
Wow. Thank you so much. It worked great in my room. I wanted to start over. These are all the places where they will go. This is a combination of 2 years ago pictures and then the trip I told you about.
Cute kids.
They'll be going up in the towers of Notre Dame, up here with the gargoyles, eating gelato on the quays. One afternoon is Musée d'Orsay, the Impressionist Museum. They'll be in the catacombs one whole morning. They have a test here in Saint-Chapelle. This is Windsor Castle. They've got a couple tests here. Had to take that one. Pardon me, I was playing with my new filters. That's Salisbury Cathedral. They have a test there. And I had a new red filter. We'll be spending the afternoon at Stonehenge, and we have access to the inner circle. I arranged it with English Heritage. You can go after hours, pay a little extra, and get in with the stones instead of staying in the cordoned off. So that was pretty exciting. Oh, this was up in the towers. Okay. The company I chose, we traveled with before. Actually, I think Judy went. Jump Street?
Yes.
On the Quebec trip. I was really impressed with them. They're a company out of Montreal. And there we go. So the dates are the 11th through the 19th. The kids will miss one day of school, the Friday before vacation. We actually leave the night before from JFK. Mm-hmm. We fly into London and we leave from Paris. It's a 9-day trip. So far, these are the chaperones, and I've had parent meetings all afternoon from 3 o'clock on, and I now have 4 more adults on the trip. So we have 2 more men besides Mike Cullinan, who always goes. And this is just the itinerary, I think I told you. We spend quite a bit of time in Westminster Abbey, and from there we're going to the London Eye. I'm pretty excited about that. I've never been to the Eye. Is it worth it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Especially if you have good weather.
I'm hoping. It should be nice in the middle of April. So the second day we go to Windsor Castle in the morning. The kids have a lot of tests there. They've learned all the medieval castle parts in French. They have on-site tests there. We're using Windsor Castle as a castle test. And then going to Stonehenge in the afternoon. The next morning we spend in the Tower of London seeing the crown jewels, the rock where they behead everyone, the beefeaters. And then we have a little bit of free time, and we've got so many adults now. We've got like one adult for every five or six kids. We should be able to manage the splinter group so that people who want to do one thing can go here, and you know, we don't all have to go to the same place. Here's the part that I'm not too thrilled about. I wanted to take a ferry across the channel. It's a nice ride. It's fun to be on the water. But it takes 6 or 7 hours, and it costs more, believe it or not. So they've convinced me to take the train in the tunnel.
That's my experience, too. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Bless your foster.
I'm going to have to be sedated for that, because I'm totally claustrophobic.
Yeah.
But they say it can be done in 2 hours. I find that hard to believe, but okay. So then we
include it on the trip.
So we wind up in Paris 2 hours later, and we get in our new hotel. And then that day we go to Notre Dame, they did the towers, and then we go to Saint-Chapelle. And I think that's about all we do the first day in Paris. The second morning we spend the whole morning in the catacombs, and I've told the parents that the only physical requirement is they have to climb down about an 18 to 20 foot metal ladder that's in the wall. You're climbing straight down. Other than that, you're basically on smooth paths. And to get out, they have a stone staircase. I have one boy who's going with his father, who's
ambulatory.
Limited, thank you. And he said that he thought Russell could go in the catacombs if we could go in the exit. So I'm going to check on that. In the afternoon we're spending in the Musée d'Orsay, the Impressionist Museum, all afternoon. Did I tell you we were going to the theater in London one night? In the West End, we're going to a musical. That's the only thing we need good clothes for. Okay, the next day we're getting on our bus and going out to Giverny, to Monet's home. It should be nice then. The bulbs will at least be blooming mid-April, maybe some early perennials. Then we're coming back and going to the Eiffel Tower, doing all the touristy stuff, Champs-Élysées. And the last day in France, we're going to Parc Asterix, which is like Epcot Center, Disney World, only it's all in French. And we're going to spend the whole day there. If there's torrential rain, I've got plan B and C that we can substitute for Parc Asterix. And then we're coming home. Let's see if I have... Okay, the cost of the trip, right now I'm planning on 35 people, and that brought it down to $29.59. I'm not doing the trip myself this year. Usually I'm the travel agent, and I handle all the money, and I'm not doing it. So they originally started out with a price of like 38, and I said no. So we cut one day off, and it still didn't come down much, and I said, what's the problem? And they said, well, you're in four-star hotels. And I said, no. So now we're in two-star hotels. And that brought it down to that. Everything basically is included except lunch. And I think, okay, so that's our proposal. And you saw the picture. So do you have any questions for me that I can answer?
So how many students do you have now that are interested?
42. to.
And when do
but
they
you
have
know
to put
that won't
their,
all go.
And when do they have to put their first payment down?
This is another reason why I did it. This company allows you to put the entire trip on a credit card. When I did the trip, you could only do your airfare on a credit card. And they only wanted $100 deposit for this year. The rest of the payment is due January 30th, 2014. And they arrange a parent portal for each family. And you devise your own payment schedule if you want to do it online, if you want to send checks, however you want to do it.
Wow.
And so when do you lock in, though, as far as the 35 or the 30?
As soon as I get 35 kids, then I'll sign a contract with them. I haven't signed anything. I told them I want to do that.
And you have quite a few
people. They were asking for March the 30th for the $100 deposit, but that's negotiable. You know, that was just a suggestion when I told them when I was having the meeting.
And this is just French students, and what grades?
The French students, French 2, 3, 4, 5, and the seniors were allowed to invite one person. So I had three seniors who invited three students that don't take any language action.
That's exciting. So, and you're including ninth graders then?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. And I happen to know one French student who is struggling and was considering dropping French and taking Spanish, but now she's sticking with her French
program. I don't know what to say. No, you all know this is a big incentive for the kids. You know, they stick with it, and especially if their grades are slipping. A lot of the parents told me this afternoon, you know, so-and-so didn't do so well, normal, between Christmas and now. And we said, you want to go on a trip? And miraculously, the progress report grades have come off.
And do you have a parent group for fundraising?
I'm going to, mm-hmm. as soon as I... We have French Week coming up the whole first week of May. That's our big fundraiser of the year. Do you remember the chocolate croissant in the morning and the great snail hunt?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll be fundraising. I'm not sure about the flamingos.
They're just waiting to talk about it.
That was actually quite a neat thing to see the travel room. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions that I can answer at this time?
Okay, I'm going to try to get off of here now. Thank you. Thank you. Just keep us posted. Hey, they didn't do this stuff when I was in school. I was getting the balloon girl.
I need to do something like that.
Well, I've been to Bermuda and Canada, but that's it.
Okay, now move on to Kent for course office offerings.
I guess I'm here to just entertain questions and bring back questions to the curriculum council. I think we have in the course packet all the course offerings that are being suggested. I'll leave it up to you if you have questions that you'd like to ask specifically. I'm not sure what you'd like me to say about any one of them. If you have particular questions, I'm happy to.
I have a comment, if I may. It looks really exciting and like a, with my, you know, reading it over, just would have a lot of appeal to the kids and really be online with what might come next for some of the older kids and kids going to college. It just seems, I don't know, I'm excited about it. In general, as an overall takeaway, I'm excited about the whole direction. I guess specifically I had my some thoughts about it, but I guess if there's faculty behind these you know, some critical mass, and they're doable, then I don't have any particular, you know, like what jumped out at me, third graders doing keyboarding, but that's also very, you know, right away I thought, they're so young, but yeah, they're so young, this could be really cool, you know, and,
I mean, keyboarding, they used to do it a while ago, you know, Beth Murphy had it there. Again, the kids are all on the computer.
So yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. So, no, I didn't have any,
I just, the more we can offer, you know, and the variety, because again, having some electives in all the classes, I think that's just great. I have one question with the vegetarian, the cooking one, and I just, and maybe this is from before, I thought they needed to have a prerequisite for any of the cooking. I know this one is the same type of thing, but she didn't need a prerequisite for this one.
Right.
Is that still the case where she wanted, we've had kids taking, you know, food one before they could take the gourmet cooking because kids were coming in with different skills. So this, because it's not, this is more cutting, it sounds like.
Right.
Are these very much faculty driven?
They're all faculty driven.
Great. And the kids don't know about them yet, right? Or they do?
No.
Do they have to know? Okay.
Just out of curiosity, the planning for life after high school, is there a reason 7th and 8th are excluded from that as a possibility?
It doesn't fit in the 7th and 8th grade schedule.
Okay, so there's just not any opening that they could take.
They don't have the opportunity to take electives.
Right.
Okay.
Because isn't it all kind of mandated electives for 7th and 8th grade?
Right.
So. They have home and careers.
They have home and careers, they have health,
you know, yeah. So this would be.
But if you wanted to take, say, more years of a language later and didn't need to take language in 7th grade, you wouldn't be allowed to make a change. We demand that you take a language. Or I can't say that I have, you know, the entire schedule in front of me laid down, but it just, I'm just wondering, is there no possibility?
Yeah, I don't know.
Four languages offered over 2 years, 7th and 8th grade, right. And they get one credit for it,
right.
If they pass it. So.
Right, but suppose you knew you wanted to take, say, 3 years of French. I mean, why bother killing two electives in 7th and 8th? I mean, do we offer any flexibility that way?
No. Middle school schedule is very tight. In fact, we're going to talk about it a little bit later, about how we are moving some of those requirements to 6th grade, family consumer science, to 6th grade, which you can do in technology as well, to put a little less pressure on 7th and 8th graders.
Okay.
So two more things. I thought so the vegetarian cooking, it was one particular aspect of that was the eating local movement was mentioned in there. And that was interesting to me because I think our little corner of the world has been like the locus of that movement. So I think that's very exciting that the kids will get some history of that and, you know, social perspective on that. And then the women in literature, I did just want, there was one sentence in here and it says, although the role of women in society is constantly progressing, their voice and accomplishments are often overlooked in high school English and social studies curricula. I hope that's not the case here in Utah. I mean, even in our regular English and social studies classes, but I would definitely support a class like this.
Isn't it funny though? Couldn't you just have men in literature too? I
thought that too, but you know, I do get it, and you know, took a lot of feminist theory in college and graduate school. Still, you think, God, that was a long time ago. As it's, you know.
Well, no, I said I think even in college, there's always feminist literature. I don't think there's, you know, they never call it male literature. You know,
yeah.
Male, you know,
yeah.
We haven't gotten to that equalization.
So from here, we'll put them on for your approval at the next board meeting if there are no further questions.
I just have one comment.
Sorry, John.
I'm glad to see the public speaking being offered. That is, in my opinion, very important that every student learn to speak publicly as much as they possibly can be encouraged to do that. But I would like to see it occur much earlier than, and hopefully it does occur in English classes and as they progress, and not just being up in the 12th grade, but I think even in the elementary program. Because in this world today, we have to be able to express ourselves at public meetings and our ideas, and I think public speaking is key. That's just one area I'd like to see.
I have one other quick question. I apologize, the answer may have been given, but I was reading. This comes from the Instructional Council.
Yeah, it doesn't come from me.
And there are teachers on the Instructional Council?
It's all teachers.
Yes.
And
so, okay, so there's no specific teacher necessarily assigned to each class, but certainly there has been input from teachers on ideas to have these. Okay.
Exciting. So, whether we can answer this right now, though, is there room in the high school student schedule that these electives would be able to get these electives? You know, there's enough. I don't want to offer too much, and then we don't have enough kids.
I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, but the way that I see it going is if the board approves these to offer as courses that we would offer, we would put it out there with what we think we can offer next year, staff-wise,
okay.
Let kids sign up, see how many kids sign up, and see what we can offer. The schedule is still being developed, but at this time, if they're approved, then we can see what the interest is. We won't offer every one of these every year, for
right,
sure.
Right,
yeah.
Just to see.
Because in our course catalog, we would like to beef it up.
I like knowing numbers are out there that we put out to kids.
Can we, is it possible that we can, to some degree, throw these out there to pretty much like everybody at 9 through 12, or the relevant grades, I should say, and say, you know, which ones would you be interested in taking next year, as opposed to just deciding for ourselves which ones to offer, and then winding up having two of them or three of them that fly?
Well, I don't think they're all going to fly in.
No, but I mean, once we pick one, if nobody signs up for it, it's dead, whereas they might have signed up for something else.
Right, we're not going to assign one until they sign up, right? Isn't that correct, Ken? Is that the way it would be done, added to that list of where they're checking off what they want to sign up for next year?
But all of them would be offered then?
Well, we wouldn't be able to offer all of them. It's an interest survey at the beginning. What are they interested
in? Certain number
each
year.
Okay, so
yeah.
You, right, okay.
Limited
so,
number.
So
limited number each year.
Right, so how is the choice going to be made of what to offer next year? That's what I'm getting at, then,
okay.
I guess.
How is the choice going to be made? It'll be in numbers and in schedule availability. Because just
okay.
Because they check it doesn't mean their schedule
right,
will allow
right.
That.
Okay. Okay, but they will get a chance to look at them all, then. I'm obviously not getting
yes.
Myself across. I apologize.
That's
okay.
The way I see it. Is that the way you see it as well? That if they're approved, they go on that list that kids look at?
Right. Scheduling for next year, in a large part, has already been done. So, you know, we may or may not be able to get these classes filled at this point, but they'll be on the books for next year. And if there's interest immediately, then we'll do what we can to fill those.
Well, we seem to have a fair number of study halls, so presumably some kids would actually be able to take...
You seem to think that there are, but there aren't, as far as I can tell.
Okay, they'll be happy to look at the test, but if the... Starting point is that the schedule is already done and we're not going to offer them, and I don't think we're likely to get some. Okay. The kids will get a chance to look at these then, right?
We'll do our best.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you. Rosanna.
I just wanted to share with you the brochure that the math department developed last week for this accelerated math. As you probably know, New York State requires that we offer accelerated classes to seventh and eighth graders. The course will be based on information the units that are in the appendix of the New York State Common Core curriculum. And this brochure contains basically the criteria for the course for students to be included in the accelerated program. So if you had a chance, you know, basically it's all kind of laid out here, and I didn't know, you know, if you have any questions, I certainly would be happy to answer any of the questions that you might have.
Okay. More acronyms. RIT score of?
The RIT score comes from the MAPS assessment.
Okay.
Okay,
That's not response to intervention.
No. Right, I know it's not RTI. That's why I was in, because...
Yeah. I can just speak to this a little bit as well. Our current 8th grade accelerated program is open to all students. And in fact, we are required, every school district is required to offer 8th grade students the ability to take a 9th grade math course. And we have been offering a version of that, where they take 8th grade and 9th grade together in grade 8, and they're expected to take the Regents and the 8th grade assessment at the end of grade 8, which is a tall order for 8th graders. So what we are recommending is that we offer a true accelerated 7th and 8th grade math course, so that in 7th grade they take the Common Core curriculum, which is recommended of a 7th and 8th grade curriculum of study in grade 7, so when they get to grade 8, they're actually taking algebra. Just algebra, with a little bit of review for the 8th grade assessment that they have to take as well. But it's more of a true accelerated program, which allows them more opportunities when they get into 11th and 12th grade.
I guess when I look at this, I think if I was the parent of a 6th grader, I'd be very excited about this. It looks like there's some energy and enthusiasm on the faculty side to do this and a good rationale for doing it. So it looks like all win. My one question, and you might have even answered it last time, I can't remember, is should a child not do 7th grade math, they could still opt into this program in the 8th grade to take the 8th and 9th, or is that it?
There are opportunities, not necessarily in 8th grade, but there will be opportunities later on for students that are not ready to accelerate in the 7th grade so that they can accelerate later on. We talked about the possibility of, in 10th grade, doubling up and taking geometry and algebra, algebra 2, 3, or even going the regular route so that they can later on take a pre-calc and calc, or going through and taking the regular route and then still being able to take statistics in their senior year. So the purpose of accelerating students is so they can take the higher level math courses when they get into high school. So even if they're not ready in 7th grade, they'll still have opportunities to grow and get to those levels later on. And we talked about that at length because that is a concern. That's always a concern. You know, we don't want to limit opportunities of any child just because they might develop at a later age. So yes, we have looked at that, and those opportunities will still be available for students even if they're late bloomers.
But am I reading this correctly, though? Certain, if they weren't in it in 7th grade, if they meet certain qualifications, they can enter in 8th grade, or no? Am I reading that wrong? The students not currently enrolled in the 7th grade accelerated math program, we earn a grade 7 high on this?
Right. So, and I think, we'll have to go back and take a look at that. The problem would be that if they are in the regular 7th grade class, the 7th grade accelerated class would have the 7th and the 8th grade math. If you are in a regular 7th grade class, then you will not have had the 8th grade math. So then to go into the algebra in 8th grade would be a considerable leap. So I think we would have to kind of go back and look at that.
But I guess what I'm hearing from you is you think that this is the way to sort of maximize the results, the success of the kids in that program, and open up more doors for more kids to be successful in these, you know, advanced math classes at the high school level. We can't be all things to all people all the time, and you've looked and you feel that this is the route to go, is what you're saying.
And it's definitely the way to maximize the for students in those classes, absolutely, and all those classes.
Well, I'm thrilled to see us have the accelerate courses again. Both my sons took with Roger Price the accelerated algebra when it was offered. My older son almost didn't stay in. Roger asked him to please reconsider dropping out, and he's now in college to become a high school math teacher, so I'm very grateful for that opportunity for him to have had the chance to move on, and I really would love to see the kids be able to do it again.
So just a clarification on what we will offer next year. We'll offer this version of combined 7th and 8th grade in grade 7. Current 6th grade parents will be made aware of this opportunity, so the 6th grade teacher will be the voice to communicate this to. And we have one 6th grade math teacher. She has all the students for math. So that answers grade 7 for next year.
But what about grade
8? Yeah. Our current 7th graders are going into grade 8. So I think the recommendation from the math department is to continue with the model that we have right now for one more year.
Yeah.
And do the best we can, combine algebra and 8th grade math, just like we are currently doing. Okay. And that way phase it in so that our next year's 8th graders have an opportunity.
That makes sense.
To get back to your question, I think that 8th grade, what you were talking about with 8, is just because you're in the 7th grade accelerated math doesn't mean it's an automatic login into the 8th.
Right.
So I think that in order to continue on, I think that was the thought, was in order to continue on, you needed to have those to continue on into the 8th grade.
Okay, that makes sense.
But maybe that second bullet, and maybe if it hasn't gone to parents yet, I would just look at that second bullet, because to me, I'm reading it, students not currently enrolled in the 7th grade accelerated math program, because to me, that's saying if my child didn't do it in 7th grade, but look, if they get this, and this, then they can join in 8th grade.
Yeah.
So,
we'll go back.
Clarify.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that does seem to imply that you can be considered if you show enough progress during 7th grade and meet these requirements.
Okay, that might be an individual type of thing. Yeah. You might just have somebody moved in. I don't know.
The other side benefit to this is that we're going to try to put these two classes, accelerated math, 7th and 8th, the same time as regular 7th and 8th grade math. So it will reduce the numbers in the other classes as well. So if you're pulling off 10 kids out of 8th grade math, for example, first period, and some of them come out of the co-teaching class, that lightens up the numbers a little bit in the co-teaching classes, which is not the design, but it's a side benefit.
And wouldn't it also be helpful if a student is placed in the accelerated math class, but
needs to
can't
go back.
Quite handle it. Yes. And then it's not going to mess up everything.
Yeah. Their schedules won't really change.
Right.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Katie?
As you know, I'm going into my second year of annual, so we've been looking at programs and talking about programs. And last year, we brought back a number of students from out of district and created two true self-contained classrooms, one across the street and one in EBIS. And we find that those students will need some more support in 7th and 8th grade. So we're starting conversations about how we can do that and if we can have self-contained beyond English and math, if we can have a self-contained for our science and social studies for at least one over next year. So we are looking at that. We're going to continue with co-teaching. Co-teaching may not be in every grade. Up here, it's more, it's working in every grade. At the elementary, we find that our students need a little bit more of special class time versus co-teaching and more direct instruction. So we will have that as well. And we'll still have, resource room and other things, especially. But I'm reviewing all the recommendations now and having conversations with the staff and what the needs are for our kids for next year so we can plan as best as we can.
Great.
But so besides that change as far as looking into self-contained social studies and science, you don't see anything else yet?
I don't see major changes. I do see maybe a little less co-teaching on the elementary level just because we're finding more students need that small class instruction.
Kind of the same number of students now move up, going to need to help
Same number, or are you going to, they don't know?
I'm not sure I'm understanding. Same number of students in...
And that are in the classes right now, co-teaching, and that are going to be moving
up. Our numbers have been pretty steady, I think. They fluctuate, probably 5 to 10. We get students who move in, we get students who move out, we get new students who are classified, and we declassify students. I haven't seen a huge jump, but I can't say I've seen a huge decrease either. That's what you're asking me, numbers in special education.
And just to refresh my, what special classes do we have? Ninth grade English special class?
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll continue that?
Yes.
And is that the only special class we have at the high school level?
We have life skills.
Right, but just, okay. Classes.
But we have 15-1 ninth grade math and English.
Okay.
Which will continue next year. And maybe a 15-1 ninth and 10th grade
math and
English.
Oh, there will be?
Yes.
Okay. But do we have that? Do we have 10th grade now?
Not self-contained.
Not self-contained.
But our ninth graders aging up need that service. Okay.
But because we have the self-contained programs starting now in the elementary level, we're looking at, we really need to start expanding K through 12. Mm-hmm.
That's the one major difference.
Keeping our students in-house
for next year.
As much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Would be a self-contained 7th and 8th grade class, because we added it last year at grades 4, 5, and 6, where those kids stay in that room. We're looking at putting in a model similar to that in grades 7 and 8, where the core area teachers will come to the kids so they don't have to deal with that transition before they're ready. So if we have a spot for them like we do in grades 4, 5, and 6, we have our 7th and 8th grade students that are life skills, are 15-1 level instruction. Core area teachers come to them, call it a life skills class or call it 15-1, but they would still go to regular specials, family consumer science, and all that. But that's the big program addition for next year. But that's with current staff.
7th, 8th grade. Yeah.
With existing staff.
Well, it clearly, if we can, it's better to keep the kids here. It's, you know, all the way around. And so that's good that we can do that.
Parents. It's a hike.
Absolutely.
All of us here probably drive out to the Kipsy on a Saturday or a Sunday to do shopping, and it can be a hike.
And they're part of this community, and it's better to keep them in the community if we can.
But if we can offer the programs, great.
Yes, if we can. Yes.
The students,
we still have room.
But whatever the student needs is provided.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We definitely have the student need for smaller, special classes.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you,
Kate.
Thank you, Kate.
What's that?
No, sir.
Okay. Can I have a public comment? Okay, we'll move along. Public comment, anybody?
Can you tell us how many courses there are that would be offered as electives next year that you have on your proposal? And are those new or are those...
Seven. Like seven new ones.
These are new.
Seven new ones proposed.
Seven.
Yeah.
Which is why I had hoped for there to be a little more discussion. But.
That doesn't mean
but
we're offering
seven. They're just proposed.
Right,
yeah.
They're proposed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, if we want to, can read it. It's marine biology and local aquatic ecosystems, vegetarian cooking, planning for life after high school, elementary keyboarding, digital history, AP English language and composition, women in literature, public speaking 101, and accelerated math for grade 7.
Anyone else public comment? Okay, see there's none. We're gonna move, no student report tonight. We're gonna move down to superintendent's report.
Budget update. We received word last week that the state is reassessing the interest rates that they are using to fund every school district's debt, building debt. And for the past 10 years, the state takes on all of the building debt from all the schools throughout the state. So if you do a building project like we did 12 years ago, the state takes on the debt and refunds us to make the payment. So they've been refunding all of the districts at 4.5% for the past 10 years. They've just reassessed the interest rates they're now going to start refunding districts at 2.375% because the interest rates have dropped. So that translates into an $80,000 reduction in state aid for us for this year, 12-13, and an $80,000 reduction for 13-14. So that's what we're working on, finding a way to absorb that. At this point, the public presentation of the proposed budget will be on April 1st. So that's the update on the budget. Every school district is facing it, not just us. There is a waiver that many attorneys are working on, and we are part of that waiver. But the response we got back from today was districts that have refinanced probably won't qualify for that. And you recall we just refinanced in October. So double-edged sword, because if they're going to say you've already refinanced, there's your difference. So you've got it already. We have refinanced. The only other thing I have to report on is that the school safety meeting was canceled on Friday and will be rescheduled as quickly as possible. That's all I have for tonight.
Okay. Thank you. All right, now we're going to move on down to the consent agenda. Okay. Does anybody want to pull anything from the agenda?
I just have the minutes, not 9A. Sorry, I didn't get a chance to cross the road on the floor.
9A.
Yeah.
You want to pull that?
I'll just correct it now.
My question is the presentation about the football. There was a line there that it would cost $40,000 to merge, and then it goes down later on and talks about LEVTUC would only be charged if the cost went over the football budget. I just think if we just said Dover estimated that it cost them $40,000 to run their football program, it almost looks like they're asking
us
for $40,000. That was it. I think if we just clarify that, then we don't have to worry about it.
And where is that?
1, 2, 3, the fourth, third, fourth
first
line.
Okay.
Football.
Thanks.
Right, because you talked about that $40,000 okay. first, and then it got clarified that that's what Dover says it needs to run their program, and if there was something
okay.
over that, we would pay.
Okay.
About that. I think that would just clarify. That's okay.
All right. So that's all set with you now, Joanne?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anybody else with any other item?
I move that we accept the consent agenda with the corrections expressed.
Okay. Motion made. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Judy got a second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Fine.
I wish Nancy
Beersdorf
a good luck and thank you.
Yeah, wanted to with sincere regret, and it was wonderful to have her for another year. And I guess we're out of luck now.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, now let's see. There's another. Let's see, descent or district. Okay, delegations.
None.
Okay. Anything under other for personnel? No. Curriculum and instruction, anything under other there?
No.
Okay, business and operation?
Nothing.
Nothing there?
Okay, all
right. Okay, Board of Education, committee report, facilities?
We met, facilities committee met today to discuss the septic issue. We're going to invite Jeff Boudreau, who's the engineer, back to speak next week at the board meeting. I spoke to him on the phone today. He's very willing to come and talk about his proposal and how we might develop more alternatives rather than the two that were just in that letter that you got. Were just his two original preliminary recommendations. We want a little bit more. So he'll be here next week to speak about it. Negotiations, we met today informally with the administrators and with the teachers, and we will continue to move forward informally. Policy is not on here, but can we have a policy meeting next Monday? Is anybody available next Monday for a policy meeting?
Yes.
That's okay.
It's a quick, that's okay, Julie. 4:45?
Sure.
Okay.
Because we have to go through the revisions to the 6,000s.
Yeah.
Which, you know, there's not a lot.
There's not a lot left, but at least we can, yeah, hopefully get that done.
What's the overall topic for the 6,000s?
We should know that answer. We should all
know that answer. No, it's finance, I think, isn't it?
Yes, not even finance.
Yeah, but it most of it has to do with money and bookkeeping. And
okay. That's all we have.
That's all you have? Okay. See, that's all we have there. We'll move on to public comment again. Anyone have public comment again? No one? Okay. Thank you very much.
This has got to be a record.
Yeah.
We're not out of here yet.
No, I had to open my mouth.
Who did? I'm sorry, Cheryl.
About the public speaking in the 12th grade, yes. I've been thinking about that. That's one I had to take in the 12th grade. Is there a rationale getting ready for college, do you think?
It may be. I am not sure because we didn't get an in-depth explanation. But
it's
my feeling is we should be teaching public speaking, and maybe we are, but I was glad to see that we were putting more of a focus on it because it's
Melissa took her class with Mr. Pollack when she was in school, and except it was after school, it wasn't during regular hours, and they had it during the library. She has really, she needed it, so it has been very beneficial to her, so.
I mean, I'm speaking from my, yeah. I wouldn't be involved in the things that I'm involved in if it weren't for the public speaking that we were taught in the ag program that we had at the time. It was, and it was very beneficial. So I just know that you need to impress on the young people how important it is to be able to
communicate.
It's tremendously helpful in life when it comes to, I mean, God knows I could have used it, and I did not take it because I jumped out of school early, but just in terms of taking interviews or whatever, I've always been struck by the presentations that the FFA and some of the other student groups have made at how composed and adult they sound when they make the presentations, and that's not an easy thing to come by when you're young, and it certainly isn't necessarily pushed or valued in society today when a lot of your time is spent in front of a computer, so that would be great if we could get kids into that.
I think it's more of what we do. It's a part of what we do in every subject area,
yes,
starting in kindergarten.
Yes.
And it's true. I was thinking of presentations. Mm-hmm. Think of the presentations kids make now in science or social studies or English.
Yeah.
And they involve, many of them involve technology, in fact.
Yeah.
Getting more experience starting at a very early age.
Yeah, and it is easier when you're young. You haven't quite come into the, oh my God, I'm shy age. So it is important to do it earlier. But it's good to offer it even as a separate course.
Oh yeah, and I think so. At the 12th grade level, that's great. I was just looking back at, you know, they have these common core standards for all these new classes, and a lot of them say present information, support. So it is being worked on in classes, you know. And I thought the description of the DCC classes, then they kind of analyze the types of public speaking, and then they improve their own public speaking. So, you know, again, we could always do more. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, my child is a math student, so to be able to speak wasn't one of her top priorities. So it was very beneficial to her.
Oh, my son also with the.
Yeah.
I mean, now that he's going in for teaching, it's really quite, really gratifying to see how they can change and become much more eloquent.
My daughter used to come out and say, because she was involved in the Junior Holstein work on the state level and very in the forefront, very much in the forefront, say, gee whiz, how come we don't have the programs? These other kids have all been to an ag program and they can speak so well and we're at a disadvantage. Well, she wanted to become an ag teacher in Virginia and was teaching public speaking. So, but I mean, it was So it is very important, because as the kids get involved in other things, they might see students that have had different training. So I think your point that it is involved in the other, in other classes as they're coming up through is an important thing. And I think just the point that we're talking about it here tonight says maybe to the community that we want to see kind of an emphasis on that kind of thing, and it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Okay. Any other comments here? Report? May I have a motion to move to exec session, discuss particular personnel?
So move.
Second.
Okay. Motion made, second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, everyone, for coming. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
It's Mike that wants to be a teacher.
It's Tom. Yeah.
I will.